Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk, and we do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's eight-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, there's a professor in-house. Yes, there is. His name is Nate Frederick. He comes from the hallowed halls of Winthrop University and their mass communications department. And we're going to be learning today about what I think is his real-life experience in a television newsroom in Cincinnati. Was that where it was?
Yes.
All right. Before we do that, Nate, we've never had you on the show before. I know you're very excited. I'm having some fun with him. He's nervous. So tell everybody a little bit about you, please.
Well, I'm originally from Orangeburg, South Carolina. I came to Winthrop in 2011, so I've been here for a while. After Claflin, I earned my master's and PhD from Penn State University.
Oh, the Dittany Lions.
Right. And a few years after that, I came to Winthrop.
All right.
Here ever since.
So I want you to understand, audience, that because he has a PhD in mass communications, he's decided he's going to evaluate Straight Talk and let me know. Let me know all the changes we need to make to fall in line with
what we're doing just fine.
Okay, so your job at Winthrop, you do what at Winthrop?
I work in the Department of Mass Communication,
right.
And I teach primarily media law and introduction to mass communication, and a few other media literacy courses as well.
Media
literacy.
Which means?
Educating students about how to be conscious consumers of media.
I hope you tell them, the part of your course, that you need to get information from different sources so that you can try to figure out what's really going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's rule number one.
Because you would admit that there is bias in media?
Depending on the source.
Yeah.
Depending on the source, some do more than others.
I mean, everybody has it.
Yeah, everybody.
We're all
has
human
it.
Beings, right?
But of course, the media aspires to be. One tenet of journalism is to be objective, depending on the institution.
Right. And do you? We're going to get into a far field debate right here, because I would venture to say, particularly when it comes to reporting of national news by national networks, that the days of Walter Cronkite, who I know you know of,
I do.
Those days are gone. That we have, I don't know whether I want to say agendas, but we have certainly very prevalent biases by different networks, depending upon which network you're listening to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so important to be a conscious consumer, so you can know when and where to get your news.
So you are teaching that to America's future.
I am.
And how do they respond to that? I mean, do they grasp what you're talking about?
I think they do, especially at this point. I mean, these are students who have essentially grown up in a media environment that has been fragmented for quite a while. So I think the default mode is to believe that all media is biased.
Right.
And so I think a challenge for us is to show them different examples of storytelling and again, discern what is the best way to examine media.
Well, you know, the other thing that I think would be a real challenge in teaching media is this thing that we all have in our pocket called an iPhone or whatever you want to call it, because it delivers constant flow of information. And most of it is in little 2-second, 5-second bits of information. And I really, I mean, I wonder how anybody can really get an understanding or a grasp of an issue if all they're going to do is rely upon what the heck comes across the iPhone.
Yeah, I think that's challenging as well. I mean, the phone, websites, and you know, other technologies allow us to essentially curate our own news diet.
Right.
And whether we want a news diet or not, it also allows us to listen to what our friends are listening to. So when I ask students on the first day, what do you listen to or where do you get your news? Many of them, of course, say social media, but they go beyond just saying social media. They say, oh, it's what my friends or my family, what they are listening to, or, you know, what's trending online. So, yeah.
Do you ever get a discussion about facts?
We will. We're not on that chapter yet. Not yet.
Oh, my goodness. And I got one last thing before I get off my tangent here. The art of reading is, in my opinion, disappearing. Because, again, I remember, as a matter of fact, somebody over there in Winthrop was telling me that a particular book that they assigned the freshmen to read coming in, you know, it's a part of the freshman thing
right.
They do.
The common book.
Common book, is that what they call it? Mm-hmm. All right. They select a book that's not too big because the students aren't going to read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say all of them wouldn't read it.
Right.
But, I think that has been, I think, a challenge as well. But, you know, the key is, I think, for anybody reading is to find something that students could be interested in. Mm-hmm. For me, I think for someone who's in mass communication, reading is essential for so many different aspects of the job, right? So not just critical thinking, but speaking, expanding your vocabulary. And that's actually one of the things I learned during my internship.
Yeah, okay.
Was to read authors from the 1700s and 1800s because of their grasp of the language was so different and so broad. It could help us in expanding our own vocabulary.
You're right about that. All right. So you've been over there for about 8 years.
Yes.
Got your PhD in mass communications. Mm-hmm. So you applied for a grant.
Yes.
To do what?
So the grant is called the Visiting Professors in Social Media Grant. It's administered by the Association for Education in Journalism and Mass Communication. It's AEJMC for short, which is our professional organization for academics, along with the Scripps Howard Foundation. And the program funds a two-week opportunity for faculty members to work, and I put work in quotes, but it's, you know, it's an internship, to work at various media outlets and to learn how social media is transforming news delivery.
Huh. Boy, that's true. All right. So you got the grant.
Mm-hmm.
And that took care of basically your expenses and salary and whatever. And they,
right.
you got assigned, I mean, where did you go to?
So I chose to go to Cincinnati, Ohio.
The home of WKRP.
The fictional home.
Les right? Nessman.
Yeah, fictional station. Yes.
Okay, yeah, fictional station.
Yeah, fictional station.
So you were there from when to when?
The actual dates, I know it started July 15th to, I think, July 27th.
All right. This year, just
yes,
last,
this
last
year.
Month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, how did you like living in Cincinnati?
I enjoyed it. It's a different town, and I found out that I have a lot of connections there. I have a cousin there. I have some other friends from graduate school there.
Okay.
And actually, Winthrop has a bit of a connection there. Pat Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
Is
sure.
from Cincinnati, and they all knew who he was, and I think the the general manager went to high school with him. So that
you should have called Pat's daddy. He probably could have lent you a car to use for a couple weeks while you're there. He's an automobile dealership. So you contacted the television station.
Yes, I notified them that that's where I wanted to work. They were excited. And you know, I'm not the only one. I was one of six faculty members across the country.
Oh, okay.
That gets placed at different outlets.
Oh, different outlets. But you're the only one at the station in Cincinnati.
Exactly.
Okay. So your first day, you go in and say, "Hi, I'm Professor Nate Frederick. I'm here to tell you what to do."
No, exactly.
to learn from you.
Exactly. So, you know, I went in first day. Of course, they showed me my desk. But they basically gave me full rein to the station. I started going to news meetings every day. They had two news meetings, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I went to all of them.
Now, these are where the reporters and the managers sit around and figure out what stories we're going to do?
Exactly. All right. So they plan the day. And then at 4:30, I think, was the evening meeting where they plan the evening broadcast.
Right, the one for 11 o'clock.
And so for about a week, I was just sitting there quietly. But around the second week, that's when I really started to speak up more and ask more questions about what was going on.
And what did you find out from just those planning meetings about television news?
Well, in those meetings, the producers would go over story ideas. They would approve the ideas. They would think how to categorize each story, what story was trending online. They would think of ways to do follow-ups for stories, think about the best qualities of the stories. I think the first question they would ask in the meeting, well, what did we win? So what did we do well? And then, you know, where are areas of improvement?
Well, and I think what you're trying to say is television is driven tremendously by ratings. And they're constantly monitoring those ratings. And they can tell what kinds of stories are doing whatever.
Right. And they were actually monitoring those numbers while we were in the meetings. So it was real time. And so when I talk about the categories, there were four basic categories on the board. One would be breaking news, which they call real time. The second one would be enterprise stories, which were planned stories. The third would be investigative stories, which were, again, planned stories, but stories that wouldn't take a day, more accountability stories. And the fourth category I'd never heard of. It was called franchise stories. And this is specific to Scripps Media and Scripps owned stations, or I shouldn't say Scripps owned stations, but the Scripps company.
Right.
They basically picked a theme for their area. So, for example, Cincinnati would be that area. They would pick a theme and then pitch stories related to that specific theme, and there would be numerous stories.
So give me an idea of one of the themes.
So for Cincinnati, for that station, the theme was Move Up Cincinnati. So Cincinnati is going through a period of growth and renewal,
right,
similar to Charlotte right now. And so they do stories, or they pitch stories specific to that theme. So the growth that's going on in Cincinnati, but also the impact of that growth. So if they're building a new soccer stadium, well, how are the people in that community going to be impacted? Not just positively, but what neighborhoods are perhaps going to be impacted by this?
So now this television station in Cincinnati, how much news do they do? In other words, do they have a morning news program like the television stations in Charlotte do?
They do. They have a morning news show, and so I cannot quite remember all of the shows, but there are at least in the afternoon at least four or five
half-hour shows.
In the afternoon.
Were they a network affiliate? Were they a CBS, NBC, ABC, or Fox?
They were.
I can't remember.
I could not remember the because there were so many.
Okay, so you would sit around and go through these. How long will the planning meeting last?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, because everybody's got to go out and do these stories.
Right.
Right. So all the reporters were around the table as well?
The producers were around the table, not the reporters. Some of the reporters, but mostly producers.
Okay. And how big would you say the news department was? Did they have 50 people, 60 people? I mean, because you got a whole level of producers, and then you got people who go out and put the stories together.
I'd say around 30, 35.
30 or 35.
So, right. So it's a huge newsroom, but the newsroom has shrunken dramatically. So essentially, they have people who are doing television, and then they have people who are doing digital.
Social media.
Yeah, digital content.
Right.
For the web.
And would you find that basically once the story, whatever the story that was assigned, once it was okayed and produced and ready to go, they would put it out on social media first and then put it on TV next?
Depends on the story.
Depends on the story.
Yeah, it depends on the
breaking story. I'm sure
mm-hmm.
it did.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on the story.
Now, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, because we have Channel 9 is in our studios down at Broadcast House here in Rock Hill. They've been there for 25 years with their South Carolina Bureau. And one of the things I've learned just from hanging around and seeing how they operate is a lot of their stories are crime-type stories. Did you find that in this TV station in Cincinnati?
There were a fair amount of crime stories, only, I think, because of what was occurring at that time in the city.
Right.
Cincinnati this summer has been seeing a bit of a wave of homicides.
Right.
At this point. So at the time I was there, I saw a lot of that. But I also, what I was probably most impressed with was the variety of stories that they produced, not only on air,
right,
but, you know, on social media, through podcasts, through Instagram.
All right. We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now, Professor, you don't know anything about this, but we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. There's a magical way to do it. It's all in the white letters, and we all say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
News and information that matters to you. This is Straight Talk.
Hectic schedule? In a rush? Now you can order your favorite Substation 2 sub or salad online and skip the line. Just go to MySubstationII.com, click on the online order tab, place your order, and come and get it. That's MySubstationII.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Just like people, no two hearts are exactly the same. That's why Piedmont Medical Center's new, expanded team of cardiovascular specialists collaborate on an individualized care plan for every heart they encounter, from preventative treatment all the way through surgery and rehab. Their easy-to-navigate care system provides compassionate, personal attention from their passionate team of specialists. You're in good hands at York County's Heart Hospital. To make an appointment with one of our cardiovascular specialists, visit mypmcheart.com or call 844-870-1499 today.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Professor Nate Frederick, who is at Winthrop University, is in their mass communications department, had an opportunity through a grant from the Scripps Howard Foundation to be a visiting professor at WCPO Television in Cincinnati, no kin to WKRP, the fictitious radio station. It's an ABC affiliate, and he was in the newsroom morning, noon, and night, learning all that he could, and we're just kind of going through how the sausage is made, as it were. So you sit around a table for a half an hour in the morning and again in the evening planning out stories, and then the news people are dispatched to go do those. Is that right?
That's right.
So did you get to go out on that?
I did get a chance to go out on a few stories. I went out with an MMJ, which is a multimedia journalist. So our meeting was over at 10 o'clock or so,
right?
And immediately the multimedia journalist, you know, went with the marching orders to do the story,
right?
Started immediately calling sources, potential sources, to get interviews,
right?
Around, let's say, maybe 1 o'clock, she would start getting confirmations to go out and do those interviews.
Right.
People would have agreed to do those interviews. And then I went out with her while she did the interviews, and then came back and edited those interviews and ready that package to go on the air.
Was the reporter a one-man band? In other words, did they have a camera person, or did she do it all?
She was a one-man band.
Okay. She would go out, set up the tripod, do the interview, and then when did the social media part kick in for her? Once she finished the interview, did she do something on social media?
Yes. So she could go on social media to tweet about the story itself,
coming
promote
up.
The story itself. There could also be other components of the story that would be written for the web,
right,
as well.
Mm-hmm. So when she came back, she would put together, I guess they call it a package,
mm-hmm,
where she did this interview. And then I'm sure she would also have some various clips that they could use in other newscasts, just recycling the story in a different format.
Absolutely. And so the story will be told one way for one broadcast. Then it could be repackaged again and again for two or three other broadcasts.
You know where they learned all that, don't you? From radio. That's exactly how radio operates. We go out and do an interview, and we write the story multiple different ways, and we do the social media written. You know, we do all of it. That's good. That's good. And did you find it was like one reporter, one story a day, or?
No.
Uh-huh.
That was a good day. The day that I was able to follow her, that was a good day, because that was the only day she actually had time to have someone sort of shadow her. Usually, there are three stories, three or maybe even more.
Right.
So, it's not a glamorous job to do. They look good doing it.
Yeah.
You know, newscasters, journalists, they look good doing it. But it's a very difficult job. And so that's something I want to convey to students, that, you know, being in front of the camera, it is a glamorous job, but it is a very difficult job.
Well, you're like a fireman. You're on call all the time.
That's right.
If something breaks, I mean, if there's a, you know, a big accident out here on Cherry Road, everything stops what you're doing, and you get calls, and the beepers go off, and you're expected to be there, and blah, blah, yeah, I got it. All right. So you found that the reporters have a daily responsibility to do so much social media stuff a day that they have to tweet out or whatever you call it?
They do. I spoke with one of the anchors who said that maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he would just come in and do his normal job. But now he has to engage with his audience through various platforms. So Twitter and Facebook mainly. But he has to engage with his audience, and that is like a second job.
Oh, it is. I mean, you're supposed to develop a relationship mm-hmm. with your audience when you're not on the air.
Right.
Hi, here, I walked my dog today, or I did my laundry today.
Exactly. And he used gardening as his example. Yeah, I take pictures of me doing the gardening. No one, knows my address, but I'm out here, and it shows that I'm a real person.
Yeah, I'm a real person.
And they have another position that I think is in charge with engaging with the audience, and the title is called Senior Manager of Engagement in Next Generation Content. And basically, this person's job or this position is designed to create some sort of connection with the audience through primarily social media, but telling stories in multiple formats so that the audience will watch the station and engage with the people who are presenting the news. I think the belief is that if you trust the person giving you the news, right, and engaging with that person, if you trust the person giving you the news, then you're going to trust the news.
So what conclusions did you come away with from this experience? Did you, the whole thing was based on social media. Your learning experience being there for whatever it was, 10 days or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What did you come away with? What do you think? Social media keeping real media from being done because we're playing all these games of texting and tweeting and all that?
No, I think that it's just a new way of telling stories.
Right. But are the stories being told accurately? That's the key.
I think they are. I think that there are ways to tell stories accurately with the tools that we have, and I think the audience wants that. There was a story being done that I really thought was interesting, a franchise story. I talked to you earlier about franchise right. stories. There's a story about prostitution in Cincinnati. One of the journalists was telling me about it. The journalist went out with a photographer and wrote along, and kind of a ride-along, with an organization who was helping victims by driving a bus through these communities, helping women, giving them brief shelter, giving them food, giving them other types of supplies. So that story was online, and it was also on air.
Right. But it all gets back to the reporter and whether they get the facts. The facts are the facts. And you can do all the media you want, with these phones, and if you can package it right, you're right.
Sure.
Social media should be just as good as listening to it on the radio or on TV.
But the second part of that was that she used Twitter to explain how she did that story.
Good. So that she had more time on Twitter than she would have on a broadcast.
Exactly. Good. And I think that's what people want.
Good. Well, Professor, it's been very interesting. I've enjoyed this. 30 minutes has just blown right on by.
Absolutely.
You going to come back?
I sure will.
Huh? You promise?
I promise.
You won't be as scared next time, right? Thanks very much for being here. Professor Nate Frederick, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk broadcast, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now the professor is going to lead us in this, and he's going to be followed by the Homeland Security guy. You know him, Mr. Tom Glenn over here? All right. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. There's only one way to do it. It's in the white letters, and on the count of three, we're all going to do it together. One, two, three. Slice. Garden. You two guys, I'm never going to take you to a football game. You don't cheer loud enough. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. High school football starts tonight on WRHI and our host of stations at 6 o'clock. Bye.